John's Gospel opens with the majestic words, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through Him. Without Him, not one thing came into being." And then it very quickly moves to the opening of our lesson this morning. "There was a man sent from God whose name was John." Almost immediately then we move in this high-flown talk of the Word toward a man whose name was John. So quickly do we move from God to humanity. So swiftly does the Word, the eternal Word, become flesh, our flesh. And we're made to look at somebody called John. Again, very quickly we move from heaven to earth to a very strange figure, this John. In the gospel writer's telling here, we know very little about him. Nothing of his parentage, nothing of his hometown. You have to get to Matthew, Mark, and Luke to get some of that. Here, at least, all we get is he's sent from God. He's not even called John the Baptist, not here at least. He's just John. And here at least, his main activity seems to be preaching. And the location of his preaching is in the wilderness. The wild man addresses those in a wild, tractless, threatening wilderness. It's as though the word goes out to those on the fringes, those who perhaps need to hear it most. Maybe it's that John's location reminds us that there perhaps are some words that are too true, too lively to be kind of contained in the city, in a building, in a church, in a synagogue. It's as though this word can't be contained. It reaches out, pushes out to the wilderness, as though the word is greater than any vessel that could contain it. "There was a man who was sent from God whose name was John." And in this telling, he only has one function: to witness. Right? We know a witness is somebody who testifies, who simply tells what he or she has seen or heard. The witness is not to embellish, not to exaggerate. And the witness has very little significance for him or herself. Just say what you've seen, say what you've heard. We want an honest account. And after just a couple of brief references in John's Gospel, this John will disappear. He speaks, he bears witness, and he's gone. When asked by the authorities who come from Jerusalem out to the wilderness, he just says, "I am a voice." Almost as though he has no body, no substance, no enduring significance. He's just the sound, just a voice. One crying in the wilderness. Why? That all might believe. He has no significance himself, just the one to whom he refers, the one to whom he points. It's almost as though he's transparent, almost like a pane of glass. He speaks of the one who is greater than he, who is there in the midst of them, yet we do not see. He is the witness, the one to testify to what he has seen and to what he has heard. Nothing else. The Gospel of John says that the Word, in Greek, the Logos, came down from heaven and dwelt here among us. It's the only place in John's Gospel where Jesus is referred to as the Word. But it's a deeply powerful sort of image, I think. And it's a wonderful introduction to Christ. This Word, this Christ, is God's speaking, God's self-communication, the major means of communicating between the divine and the human. John says this word came and dwelt among us. In Greek, we might say he tented among us, perhaps suggesting that this word will not sit still, always on the move, nothing permanent. It's going to take up place and go from here to there. But its primary dwelling is as the Word. Jesus will be more than words can say, but he's never less than words. God in the flesh. Jesus is God's word to the world, to us. Or as Paul puts it in his letter to the church in Corinth, we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Christ Jesus. Throughout the gospel, there'll be all sorts of sort of metaphors for Jesus. He is the door. He's the good shepherd. He's the vine, bread, water, life. But he begins here with Jesus, the Word. But something went wrong, didn't it? The Word was uttered once again, here now in the wasteland. The Word was uttered over the dark chaos. Word uttered in the wilderness. And some hear, and some do not. He came, John, that they might receive him, that they might believe in him, and that they be empowered to become children of God. But it doesn't work out that way. We read, and his own people did not accept him. There's this move then. The Word, the eternal Word, comes down, dwells among us, comes near to us. And then there's a rejection. It's a move we see over and over again in Scripture, from the Garden of Eden to the prophets of old to John in the wilderness to Herod getting murderous upon hearing the news. It culminates with a preacher from Nazareth. The Word is spoken, in this case to those in the wilderness. And some will shrug their shoulders. Some will scratch their heads in bewilderment. Some, in mocking incomprehension, will just simply walk away. The story that John has to tell, to whom he is the voice, is a story that will lead to the Word, the incarnate Word, the fleshy Word, being nailed to a cross. Maybe that's because the Word by itself is not just self-evident. It does seem to promote some incomprehension and at least some misunderstanding. It's as though failure seems to be sort of around this Word. For throughout John's Gospel, almost no one whom the Christ confronts understands really much of anything. By January, we'll hear the story of Jesus speaking to Nicodemus. They'll talk about something about being born of water and the Spirit. And the wise old teacher will be thinking about birth, and it's all confusing. A little bit later, he'll speak to a woman at a well. This Word will talk about water coming down from heaven, and all she thinks about is water coming up in a bucket, and it's all confusing. It's as though this voice, this message is a little arcane, a little hidden, a little bewildering. Even at the same time, it is light, it is revelation, it is God's presence among us. But in any case, we here bear witness that the Word of God is not forever stumped, not forever hidden. The light shines in the darkness, and there's nothing we have ever done or ever could do, even the worst of it, that has ever been able to overcome the light. And to those who have received, who have been given such a gift, have become children of God. Or as the risen Christ says after Easter at the end of this gospel, blessed are those of you who have not seen and yet believe. I mean, it's as though there's sort of irony at work here all the way to the end. I mean, we've not seen Christ as his first followers have seen him. Yet here we are. believing, perhaps, on the basis of nothing more than John's words about the Word. These are written that you might believe. And despite all the setbacks and all the perfectly good reasons not to be here, not believing in the testimony of the one in the wilderness with a voice like John's, yet here we are. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's an image of creation. But an image of creation not merely of a God who is creative, but it's almost as though this sphere, this world, has been created in order to be the recipients of hearing the Word. Perhaps it is that the purpose of the world and all its rich array of creatures, including you and me, is that the Word might have an appropriate and even sometimes grateful audience. John says, I am not. I am not the one. I am not the Messiah. I am the voice. He is the voice that points to the one who has come to give us new birth, come to give us a new cleansing, a new life, all by joining us to his life, all by joining us to his death, and all by joining us to his triumph over the grave. He is the voice. He has news to share, and it's glorious to hear it this morning. Thanks be to God. Amen.